actually give a whole talk about treating our work like an athletic event. And when you see it that way, it doesn't mean you don't have fun. And I mean, having a shift drink and hanging with the people you just did battle with should never be taken away. But I mean, what's wrong with like calling that out a little bit? It almost feels like our industry is growing up a little bit. And I know it's easy to hold on to, like, it's easy to hold on to what was and to really glorify it. And I liked the school of hard knocks. I liked how hard life was. I felt like I was doing something not a lot of people could handle. But it doesn't mean it needs to be the norm. And I think that to have that stuff challenged, I don't think is that awful.
This collection of the greatest athletes in battle, traveling from one end of the United States to the other, is what big time is all about.
If you just shut the fuck up for 30 seconds, you might learn something.
Welcome to Mama Food Pod, number one live digital audio industry show for chefs by chefs. Hosted by multi-time Food Network winner and award-winning chef, Chef Plum, and culinary veteran, star of the Food Saver commercial, Chef Jeff. So wrap, date, and rotate because the boys are about to set your mise en place. Here are the Good Brothers.
Oh, yeah. Thursday night, Mama Food's live. Well, not so live, but it's Plum Love Foods, that's for sure. My microphone's clipping. I apologize. What's going on, everybody? Happy Thursday to you. I hope your week is well. I hope your summer was fantastic. Mine certainly was. I am flying solo tonight, my friends. Jeffy and Dan got to do their best of and whisper into microphones last week, so here I am now. Do some of my favorites. You know, I always think it's fun to let the boys have a chance to come on and talk about some of their favorite episodes here of the podcast, but you know, for me, I have so many episodes that I love altogether that it's hard to pick a couple. So that's kind of why I always let, you know, Jeffy and Dan do it, because they, I don't know, like some things might stick out to them more than, I don't know, because they all just kind of get jumbled to me. I mean, we're looking at, I mean, almost 500 hours of content of this program is on the internet right now. That's an insane amount of content to be out there for this program. I started this show solo. It was just me talking into a microphone with the occasional guest, and that's what it was. And I could still do it, no doubt about it, but it does make life a little easier when I have Jeffy and Dan and Dave and, you know, all the rest of the Pirates of the Caribbean or Pirates of the Chef Kitchen with me. Pirates of the Chef Kitchen, what the fuck is that? Jeffy definitely would have called me out on that. I do love having those guys with me. They do such a great job hanging out, conversing, talking back with me, giving me things to talk about, except for when Jeffy is on his vitamins a little too much. It seems like there's a bit of a delay sometimes when Jeffy answers, but that's why we love the guy, because he's awesome. He's a phenomenal chef, an even better human being. I love the guy. He's great, and Dan is the best. I mean, listen, this is going to be the first episode of Plum Love Foods Live in a long time without a Danilogue, a Daniloquy, whatever you want to call it, where Dan goes off on a tangent and educates us about something we didn't know we need to be educated about. I guess in general, that's everything that the Danilogues are about. But that's why we love the guy, because he comes out, he drops some knowledge on us, he's telling us his opinion, whether you want to hear it or whether you don't. But nonetheless, those guys are great. We got to love when Good Brother Dave is on the show sometimes towards the end. You know, Dave had a lot of heavy work schedule this summer, so we didn't have a whole lot of Dave on the program as much as we would have liked. But, you know, Dave will bring that fire or he'll bring that refrigerator. One of the two. That's what you can always count on with Dave. It's going to be one extreme or it's going to be the other. And we're hoping to have Rob back on here soon at some point, man. Rob's schedule was crazy this summer, and he had to focus a whole lot on work because of it. So big shout out to the Good Brothers, man. That's all. Big shout out to the Good Brothers. I love those guys. They're super helpful to have on the program. Tonight, Best of Plum Love Foods 2021 Part 2. I picked a couple of my favorite clips to have on the show, and I'm very, very excited to play them and give a little insight to them and talk about them. We're going to hear from Lonnie Hewatt. He was my mentor. I think every chef or cook has a mentor, and Lonnie was mine for sure. Really great guy. I guess I could call him a great guy. He was kind of a jerk to me sometimes, but I think you're supposed to be. But it's okay. It made me grow as a human being. And this is the problem. I think that we need more people in the world to not be afraid to be that guy, to be a little hard, to give a little tough love. We don't get that shit anymore. So let's bring it back. Be a little hard on people. It helps them grow. It's a good thing. Definitely, you know, especially with the world we live in now with COVID. I mean, we could use a little tough love, you know, on some people, I guess. Also tonight, we're going to hear from one of my other favorite episodes we did here in 2021. We had a great conversation with Matt Stanzacek from Good Old Days Pizza. A lot of knowledge in that episode. Really, really good brother. I enjoyed that conversation tremendously. I want to play some of that too because it's a really great conversation. There's a lot to learn there. And his pizzas and his restaurant, I mean, the dude changes the menu basically every week in his spot and uses all local stuff. It's just awesome. What a great spot. If you're ever in the Newtown, Connecticut area, or even within a 90-mile radius, it's worth the drive, that's for sure. And yes, I picked 90 miles. I don't know why, but I did. And then we're going to finish up tonight with one of our shows that we did this year that I'm super, super proud of. We did a post on social media where we talked about pitch your own TV show. And we got a lot of people calling into the phone number there. We're going to do a lot more at the phone, I think, this coming season of Plumlow Foods Live. But we, the amount of television pitches we got was incredible. We were super happy to have them. And we had our good friend, Michael Petrella. He's a producer. He's done all kinds of TV, all kinds of movies. And he's got a bunch of stuff on the table right now. Hint, hint. There might be something coming with your boy. You never know. But Lonnie, I'm sorry, not Lonnie, that we had Lonnie on the first block, but Petrella came on and we played some of these pitches for him and got his feedback. And my favorite thing about Petrella when it came to that feedback was he was never really rude to anybody. He was very nice and pleasant to everyone. And Jeffy and I heard him. We're like, what the fuck is that? But what happened in the end of that program is when one of the Good Brothers, because I gave all the Good Brothers a chance to pitch a show, pitched something that might actually be moving forward. We're pretty crazy. We're pretty, you know, excited about that. And it's a scary thought that might have happened. But yeah, it was an idea that he liked. So we're seeing where it's going to go. There's a lot of work being done on that. So those are the three clips I picked. Listen, I could play hundreds and hundreds of clips. We had so many great guests this season. It's really the funnest thing about this show. Everything from, I mean, recently we had Chef Justin Finney on from The Highway. What a great guy there. I mean, it's always a pleasure. And we have our medium friend Patty Griffin on. You know, we had an interesting show with our sommelier friend Aaron Swain. We had a lot of technical difficulties, and I think she had some wine difficulties. If you listen back, by the end of the show, she is fucking shit-faced. The Vulgar Chef was on. Make sure you follow him at Vulgar Chef on Instagram. The brother can take a hot dog and do amazing, amazing things with it. Laura, the girl from, what was that place called? Sono 1420. The people who are putting hemp and stuff in their bourbon and cocktails. I love that. Mike Puma, who we talked about last week. Love that guy. Nick Callius, shout out to him. Excuse me, I was looking for my cough button. In regular radio, we have a cough button that kind of blocks the cough sounds, but I don't have it here. Obviously, the NASA show. What about that guy that we had on, the guy who was an expert on swearing? What was that guy's name? I love that guy. That was such a great show. Swearing, but there's a science behind it. Someone studies that stuff. Benny Bassett, Jesse Rubin, all these guys are fantastic who joined the program. Always a pleasure. Super, super happy to have any kind of person who performs or does their art. You know, Dave Falkowski, having him on was a great time this season. I mean, 21's been a great, it's been a great year, man. Of course, shout out to our good brother, Chef Randy, from down there in Thibodaux, Louisiana. He's, they're not doing real well. They still don't have power. They are, you know, they're in bad shape. I know he's not there. I think he's out of the state, you know, waiting for things to come back. So shout out to him. Much love to you, buddy. Matt Stockman from the club at Hammock Beach, getting that different point of view. Our man Stratus dropping knowledge on us. Chef Allison Pisano. I mean, so many great episodes of this program. Just so much great information. The episode with Chef Aaron Reed and Gary Five Boys talking shop. That was a fun episode, man. I mean, there was a lot of them. I love every episode of the show. Miss Metaverse stops by once a year to talk about the future food. A lot of great stuff. We're going to push really hard this next season for some big-name guests on this program. You know, I guess Jeff and I get locked in this whole, like, chef world and want to just have chefs and food people on. But, you know, I think we need to get in there and start pushing a little bit more some bigger names. So we're working really hard on that as our summer winds down here and we finish up. So we've got some big plans. We're excited. Some giveaways, new gear, big guests. We're super excited about the things we've got coming up. So we hope you guys will be, too. We appreciate you so much for taking the time and downloading the show. And talking with us and hanging out with us, and you know, we really do. We appreciate you taking the time to listen, because it's just us babbling here. And you know, I think we were in the top 10 several times and on Apple Podcasts, and we're always in the top 100 in the food category. So you know, awesome. We really appreciate that. Thank you so much. We hope you guys enjoy the show tonight. Best of part two. We're gonna kick it off with a great spot. Talking shop and hearing stories with one of my mentors, Chef Lonnie Hewa. Chef is in Aspen right now. Shout out to him. I hope the fires aren't so bad out there. Chef, he is a guy who I talked about being a little harder on people. He was definitely hard on me, but it was a good thing. I even talked about the grade he gave me when I met him, and we were I was an extern or an intern at the hotel with him. So check it out right here. Best of Plum Love Foods Live, part two. Here's Chef Lonnie Hewat. He told me I was one of the only interns he ever let run caterings. I was running caterings. I was all in. And we designed a great menu together. He was teaching me ice carving. I mean, we were deep, Chef. We were running deep on this shit. I was early. I stayed late. I did all the things. And you know what that sumbitch gave me for a grade, Jeffy?
D.
He gave me a B. And I said, Chef, why the fuck did you give me a B? What happened? And he said, well, Plum, if I gave you an A, that means you've got nothing else to work on. And if we ever live our lives and our career with nothing else to work on, then you should quit what you're doing.
All right. Give me an A minus, though.
And you're never going to know everything. I've been in this business for almost 40 years. I'm dating myself, but 37 years in this industry, and I know nothing.
I don't know about that.
You'll never know everything in this business, and that's the beauty of it, and that's what I'm so passionate about, even after all of this time, and seeing people like yourself and other interns from all walks of life, from international students and all of that. It's just, I absolutely love the teaching piece of it. I mean, I can be a hard ass, but at the same time, I mean, you can speak for yourself. As it makes you stronger, it makes you a better person. You may not like it at that particular moment, but what you get out of it in the long run is where you got right now.
Yeah, no, and a lot of that is due to, you know, like I said, literally it's become something in my career. I mean, listen, hell, I've got almost 25 years into this shit now, and it's how does that make you feel, Chef?
You were a little kid, right?
Yeah, no, I was. I think I was under 200 pounds when I met you. That was 100 pounds ago. So anyway, it's one of those things, man, where as I progressed in my career, things tend to make more sense to me. One of the biggest stories I can tell, and I'll stop telling these terrible stories, was I came to work with you at the club at Hammock Beach, the grand opening for that. Myself and a friend of mine came down. We lived in a Motel 6 for about 6 weeks, Chef. Was it 6 weeks?
It was around about that. I'm glad you're bringing this up, because I'd love to bring up a story as well.
Do you know the story I'm about to tell?
No, but I can probably put it together here real quick.
All right. Well, the best thing about this was, so we're staying in this Motel 6. It's about 20 miles away from the resort. Mm. And about the sixth week in, Chef was like, we worked a long day or something like that. And you had said, do you guys want to stay at the resort? And we were like, nah, well, we got the Motel 6 down the road. I was like, fuck. I made a joke saying, I wish I could have stayed in the resort the whole time. And you went, well, you didn't ask.
Hey. That place isn't cheap, man. That place isn't cheap. You stay there every once in a while.
I know your vacation spot. Well, the funny part was, what you taught me, though, was if you don't ask, no one's going to give it to you. And you were absolutely right.
You don't
right.
get nothing.
Right.
Fuck no.
You don't ask, you don't get.
Who's going to advocate for you more than you? You know?
I love that.
Yep, absolutely.
That subbiz looked right at me and said, he goes, you didn't ask.
It was wide open. There was nobody living there. It was brand new.
I know.
The other side of that is I stayed in that same ass shitty ass hotel as you did for the first 6 weeks I was there.
Until you asked.
Until I said, hey, what the hell?
Yeah. That hotel sucked. Yo, but those are those
it's
things,
Motel
man.
6, man.
Yeah, but those are those things that make you grow, man, that make you grow as a chef. And, Chef, those are those things that I've gotten to you to where you are now, and I want to bring up where you're working now because we haven't said it yet. Out in Tahoe, the Edgewood, right?
Edgewood, Tahoe Resort, beautiful place right on the lake. It's fairly new. It's been, you know, I say it's fairly new for hotel goes. It's 4 years in growing. An amazing spot. We're having so much fun every day. The carte blanche for menu production, and we're making charcuterie from scratch and buying whole animals from local. We're just really honing in on local, and in most places, and this is an independently owned hotel, and I'm not going to just blow them up, but they have been so supportive through the whole epidemic or pandemic or whatever the fuck it's called. They paid everybody for the whole time that they were out.
Oh, that's awesome.
I worked the whole time. But when we need something or we're saying, hey, we want to create something fun and cool and here's what it is, they don't say no. They're like, make it great. Make it one of the best places in not only the country, because that's the goal, but in the world. And they mean it. And they're not cheap and they're not scrimping on costs, which does not happen. I've worked around the country for flags all over the place and all that. But, man, these people in this place, when they say they have a goal that they want to achieve and make it the best, they really mean it, and you just don't hear that in our industry. Even with the current conditions, you know, we're getting Piemontese beef in, just sampling those type of things and playing around with those. It's just carte blanche. You just don't get this here anywhere else.
So during this pandemic, I thought this was like a Hilton property or something. It's not. You say it's independent.
It's a privately owned place. The property has been owned by a privately owned family for 150 years. This project has been in the conceptualization process for over 17, 20 years before they ever broke ground because of the restrictions that the Lake Tahoe community and stuff puts on building and things of that nature. But the finished product is, man, you just got to come and see it. It's just so amazing.
I was checking the pictures out on the website, and man, they are beautiful. The place looks incredible. Beautiful. And Jeffy, this is one of the things I always respected about Lonnie so much. Listen, he'll give you a chance. He's never going to like not let you try something. He'll always put you up to the test, give you the chance to do it. But then the best part about it, Chef, with me when we worked together at the Jefferson Hotel, even if you fucked up, you wouldn't hold a grudge. You know what I mean? Like, you say, okay, tomorrow's a new day. We'll see how we do then. And I always appreciate that.
In this business, if you, like, hold grudges and think about what happened yesterday and not move forward from that, then you're never gonna grow. You're never going to excel. I do the same thing today. I do that same exact thing. I've got people from Africa working here, from Romania, Taiwanese, Philippine kids that are coming from international work travel programs. And you've known me for a long, long time. That's what I'm about.
Yes, sir.
We're going to make mistakes. We're going to grow from that. We're going to learn. Hey, did we learn and we make the same mistake again? If you do make the same mistake again, then we might have a different kind of conversation. But
Chef, there won't be a conversation. There'll be Lonnie talking and you shut the fuck up.
Well, isn't there such a thing as yes, chef?
Hey.
I don't know where that went.
Listen,
there used to be.
It was when I was
there.
Where
did that go?
Is it not around anymore?
You're damn right. You fucking better be around. If you're working in my kitchen, it still exists.
Yes, chef. I feel like I'm getting yelled at right now.
We should.
Well, You said you were going to give me shit about stuff, so I'm going to start. I'm going to get ahead of it.
All the shit I gave you. I never said give you shit. I never said give you shit. I said I'm going to say some things, and it was a lead in to saying nice things about you. See, it was like a tease.
Oh. I thought you were going to like start saying I was cheap and really mean and yell at you all the time.
Well, listen, all those things are to grow. That's the good part. And you were never, listen, here's the thing. You were never cheap at all. I mean, if we'd go out drinking, like, you would pick up the tab, but we had to leave before you paid it because you get very angry at us. But,
you were luscious.
Listen, you're dealing with kitchen people, chef. Come on. Listen, not today's kitchen people. Today's kitchen people, they get manicures, they work out, they take their body as a temple. I don't know. We lived off fucking Whoppers and beer. I don't know. Different story back then.
For sure.
For sure. You talked about making charcuterie and things like that. That's kind of always been your MO, though, Lonnie. Like, we're going to make this from scratch. Like, we're not going to buy, like, the best salami we can find. We're going to make it. And I always really hated that about you when I was younger and loved it now, because now I appreciate it. Like, now I understand.
There is so many lost crafts, or beginning to be lost crafts, in our industry due to convenience products and all of that stuff. It's a shame, and I like to associate myself with places that are like, look, we want to be the best of the best. We want to create things from scratch. All my kitchens have been scratch kitchens, and I look, when I move to another property, I'm not going somewhere just to jump ship because I'm looking for just a different job or a little tiny bit more money, because at a certain point you're not going to make a ton more money when you get to the level that we're at. But you know, I just want to go to places that really, when they say, they preach that they want to be the best and they want to do scratch stuff and tell a real story about where the food comes from and how it's made and it's all by hand, that's I'm going there.
Yeah,
and absolutely. I'd go there again tomorrow.
Man, this is just, Jeffy, this is the stuff that I was surrounded with for years, was this gentleman here breaking knowledge like this. Do you hear this man talk?
Yeah, man. It's inspiring. I love it. It's the kind of shit I like.
Yeah, I mean,
no bullshit. Just say it like it is and make it happen.
Well, it ain't no bullshit, because in this business, bullshit walks. You know what I mean? Make it happen. If you're in it to win it, then that's a great thing. If you're here to be a fly-by-night guy and you just want to collect a paycheck, I need that too. But somebody that really possesses a passion for what we do and our craft, I'm going to spend some time with that person, because I want them to carry on the legacies, the skill sets that are just being forgotten.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You know, chef, it's one of those things where it's you leave a mark on people, you know, more than I think you realize that you do. And we recently had Matt Stockman on here on the show, and I still love Hammock Beach. My kids love Hammock Beach. You know, it's kind of cool to be able to take my kids there now. And I still have relationships with those people. And we had Stockman on, and the guy still has so much love for you, bro.
Oh, I heard him talking smack. I talked to him right after the show.
I heard
the whole thing.
He was shit-talking, but he loves you.
Tucker told me my wallet was tight. I was like, what the hell? I'm fucking kicking him in his asshole.
Well,
coming from the guy that never leaves the house, because he wants to invite you over for a football game or whatever, and he's going to make and Matt's a good cook.
Yeah.
So don't let him fool you. Because I've been over there and had some amazing meatball subs and sausage and peppers and stuff watching his shitty Steelers play. But anyway.
All right. Listen, Patriots fan. Listen. but even people there, like, you know, there's still pictures of us up from that grand opening in that hotel.
I'll tell you, that grand opening was probably one of the highlights of my career, and I've had some pretty amazing places, and I've been really fortunate. You know, I'm maybe a little bit sarcastic and stuff, but I'm fairly humble. I really, really appreciate, and I'm so happy for the opportunities that I've had throughout my career, and some of the choices. We make choices, but that particular property, when we did the opening, it was, man, we just worked our asses off. It was very small crew. It's a remote location that nobody even knew about. and we're opening up this monster property that had, we did the grand opening, I think it was like 3,000 people. I mean, yeah, shit,
Sheryl Crow was there, remember?
All over the Sheryl Crow played, and we had action stations all over the entire place on the beach.
Okay,
and,
wait a minute.
Oh, my God.
Okay, wait a minute. So it's you, me, and another guy, first of all. That's it. And 2 days before the grand opening, you go, hey, Plum, I think we should do a like a great, maybe we should do a couple action stations. We should do like a whole prawn dish. Meanwhile, I'm like, Chef, we gotta carve an ice boat. We got to get the raw bar. We got to make the dinner. What the fuck are you talking about? And you're like, no, we
how
got
we
it.
Do both. We deboned like two whole hogs,
yep,
and made giant chorizos out of the damn things and hung them in the frickin' combi oven.
Oh, man.
For fucking overnight. It was like a 200-pound sausage.
But it was so... And my favorite, though, was the end of that night. I mean, I think it was 3 a.m., Chef. I don't remember. We did this giant grand opening. I mean, the ice sculpture fell over and all. Just shit was crazy. Obviously, we get through it. Everyone's happy. An amazing night. We work a 110-hour week or some crazy shit that week. I don't remember what it was. Living in a Motel
something,
6. Cause, yeah. The chef
really
would put
close
us,
to that.
He wouldn't
sure.
put us up in the resort, so we just stayed at the Motel 6. So...
Well, you already said that. You didn't ask. What the hell do you want from me?
But
you're a little kid. You don't ask, you don't get.
Yes, Chef. So we sat down at the end of the night. It's, I don't know, 2, 3 a.m. We're sitting down, and there's this massive, like, courtyard overlooking the ocean. And, you know, I'm fucking 20-whatever years old I am, young in the business. And I'm sitting there kind of just reflecting on what we've done. Chef pops a couple of beers, gives us each of us a beer. And we're hanging out talking about it. That moment is forever with me. That moment will never go away. Like, I live that moment in my mind at least once a day.
It was a pretty amazing accomplishment for the amount of people and on the team. I mean, it was just the three of us.
That's it.
And then the service team, which was... Mm-hmm. You know, I don't want to talk trash about service, but they just, it was really new. I mean, all these people were coming from right there where there was nothing like this in the area. I mean, St. Augustine's the nearest thing, and there's no hotels like that in St. Augustine or Daytona or any of that. So it was a really cool experience. Wouldn't do it again tomorrow, though.
No, you wouldn't. Yeah, I don't know if I would either.
I would not fucking do that again tomorrow.
I would do like the last 8 hours of it. We could do that. Would that be cool?
That was fun. That was a service piece. It was getting it all together and the organization and just the so many moving parts and chefs from around the country coming to join us to assist us with this. And hey, you're going to handle this part and we're going to do this part. It was quite the extravaganza.
I mean, you pulled out big guns. You had Sean Brock come down with us.
Yeah. Well, Sean Brock was a sous chef back when I was freaking working at the Jefferson. So
I remember.
He and I did the opening at the Hermitage when he was awarded the executive chef job.
Yeah.
Like after being there for a few months, so I went down to the Hermitage for the grand opening for him to help him out for a few months. I don't know if you were still there with us, but after that, when I went back to the Richmond, when I went back to the Jefferson, and then I decided to go do the grand opening, I'm like, hey, you owe me, brother. You're coming your ass down here. Bring a couple kids with you. And he did.
Yeah. He did a great job.
And they left him they stranded him at the airport for 4 hours.
What?
Oh, yeah. It was a shit show. Anyway.
Oh my God.
Another story for another time.
Hey, listen, those things happen though, Chef. I'll tell you what, Jeffy and I, we were at a festival in Mexico. Was it about a year ago, Jeffy? Is that right?
2 years ago now.
Yeah, and we went there and it's called the Cuisines of the Sun, fantastic festival, Puerto Vallarta. We had a great time.
Yeah.
Featured. Awesome. We had an amazing time, and then we go to the airport the last day. We wake up next morning, pack our bags, go to the airport to find out our flights had been canceled, but nobody told us because it's Mexico.
Because you're a gringo.
Yeah, exactly. And let me tell you what, you haven't met Jeffy.
We were the gringos. You have no idea.
Oh, it's Jeffy. Chef, I can't wait for the day you get to meet Jeffy because, I mean, Jeff is Italian as they come with his afro and – And the second they say the flight's canceled, he is on fucking like level 10 screaming at the people in English, like with his occasional Spanish word. It's hysterical.
I use a Spanish accent.
It's true.
Which smooths it over, I think.
You think that helped? So, Chef, how did you end up in Lake Tahoe, man? Because I know you were in Texas and in Florida. In Tahoe, how did that gig come about?
So, I worked in Florida multiple times, as we're kind of referring to.
Yeah.
And one of the food and beverage directors that I'd worked with before, Dan Daughtry, had reached out to me and said, hey, we're doing this really cool project. It's got a ton of opportunity. Just come out and take a look at it. So I was like, I loved Austin. Austin was a fantastic time, beautiful city, great food, culture was awesome. So anyway, I loved Dan, and Dan and I had worked together at two other projects in Florida. So just come out and take a look at it, tell me what you think. And if it's no good, it's no good.
Right.
So I get out, I fly into Reno, I'm driving in, it's April, and I drive over I'm driving into the city or town, whatever the hell it's called. So I drive in, and there's snow caps on the mountains, and I pull into this place.
Wow.
And it's on the lake, and it is magnificent. I didn't think even twice about it. I was like, ooh, I hope I get this job. I wasn't even interested.
Wow.
I was like, I hope they like me. I hope they
hell
like
yeah.
me. I'm coming. Where do I sign? And to be perfectly frank and honest, I took a monster pay cut to come up here.
Did
because
you?
I just believe in what the place is about and what they're trying to do, and the ownership's the ownership's just super supportive. Again, so as soon as they said, hey, when do you start, I'm like, tomorrow.
I got a Motel 6 down the road, already booked it.
You know what, hey, I actually got to stay at the resort.
Oh,
sorry to tell you this. Because now I'm a big swinging dick now.
Of course you are.
So now I go and get to stay at the resort for 2 months, and they were like, hey, do you think you might want to move out soon? I'm like, fuck never.
No.
Are you asking me, or are you telling me I have to get my crap out of here? just be frank. Just tell me what's up.
Hey, no, I'm good. I'm happy here. I'm good.
No, this is great. The swimming pool, the jacuzzi, the lake. Hey, I'm fine. The food,
that's awesome.
The wine. Hey.
That's amazing.
They're great people, man. They really are. They really are great people, Chris. I'm not bullshitting awesome. You. It's, I don't make stuff up. You know me. I call it like it is. Wear my heart on my sleeve. And if it's shit, yeah. It's shit. And if it's great, then that is what it is too. So.
You know, I think that I was looking at the menu for the resort you're at now, for the bistro, and wow, Chef, this menu is fantastic. And I can only think of it from a point of view from a person who has worked for you. And I look at some of these things in this menu, and I'm like, does he have these motherfuckers making pepperoni?
We are making salamis and pepperoni. We've actually got legs of lamb hanging that have been in there for 6 months. That we got whole lamb from Bentley Farms right next door to me. I live like 2 miles from there.
Wow.
We buy whole animals. We're buying whole pigs from Lena Seco, which is in Chico, California, and we're getting those in. I mean, they're dead for like days when they come to us, and I'm not bullshitting you. The eyes are clear, the meat, wow. And so we're hanging legs, and we're making sausage, and we're curing belly, and making bacon, and it's been such a whirlwind of fun. We're constantly evolving and pushing the envelope and trying new things from. From pepperoni, which is a quick cure, and they don't take that long to cure. But we've got stuff that's been hanging in our curing cabinet for like 9 months and almost a year because one of these legs was so fat.
Yeah.
It's still hanging in there. The funny thing about and all of this stuff, and as fun as it all is, and I can talk all day about it, is you cut into a leg that's been hanging for a year, and it's gone in a day and a half or 2 days. It's
wow.
Like all that time to, but the feedback, we go out and visit tables and we're asking, hey, what do you think about the charcuterie program? And amongst everything we do, because everything we do is for scratch made. I'm super fortunate to have some great talented chefs working for with me and for me. Francisco Espinoza, who's an amazing talent. Stephen Varga, fine dining restaurant. Yeah, I got to do this. They're just freaking phenomenal. I just hired a guy who's been working in Ritz-Carlton's and Four Seasons and over in Santa Monica areas named Emre Farkas. They're just fantastic support systems for me. And I, you know, Chris, you can't do this by yourself.
No.
You definitely can't do it by yourself. And you got to, and half the time, the story is more about the people with you than the chef themselves. And you've always been that guy, man. You'll give credit wherever it's due all the time. You used to give us credit constantly from doing things at the resort and in Florida and things like that. That was you. That's always been your mantra. And, you know, I think that, you know, a lot of other chefs these days could learn from that. We talk about it all the time on this program that people go to culinary school and they graduate and what do you want to do? Well, I want to be on Food Network. Well, that's not how the world works. You know, first of all, you're an asshole. Yeah. Don't fucking say that ever again. Number two, those things are fucking byproducts of 25, 30 years of experience, of busting your ass to get there.
Absolutely.
Yep. I've heard it 1,000 times, though. I want to be the next Food Network star. Shut the fuck up.
Get on the fucking fryer and stop running your mouth.
Yeah.
Yo.
Shut up. Yes, Jeff.
Yo.
That's right.
That is bananas. Jeff, everybody right now, get out there and follow our good brother, the Edgewood Tahoe executive chef himself, Lonnie Hewatt, at Lonnie HU3 on Instagram.
Yeah, for sure.
Follow him right now. Cool. Get on there, follow him, drop in his DMs, you know.
Maybe we can coax him into... You send him a nude
picture. He loves a nude.
He loves it.
You know, if you want to send him any nudes, male nudes, female nudes, whatever, he's open to it. He's into it.
Hey, so I can't emphasize enough, go to edgewoodtahoe.com. Check out the bistro menu. This menu is bonkers, Chef. I'm telling you. I read this, and all I could think about is the poor souls that are like, fuck, we have to make all this shit.
It gave you a Woody, didn't it? It gave you a Woody, right, Chris?
It did. This menu is phenomenal, but I just know you, and like I said, I know that you're making charcuterie, you're making all this shit from scratch, man. And here's the biggest thing. I look at this menu, I hear you talk right now. You're doing the food here that you've always wanted to do. That's what I feel. It's one of those things, I'm serious, you meet certain people in your life, and they make such an impact on you, and maybe that impact doesn't hit right away. Maybe some of it hits you right away, but it's funny how you get further down the line. And honestly, Chef, there's so many things. When I'm doing events, when I'm doing parties, when I'm doing catering gigs, like just so many things I learned from just working with you, from simple things like don't let them see you sweat. You know, you used to always say that. Don't let them see you sweat. I don't care what's happening. And that's the truth. If they see you sweat, then why the fuck? They're going to stress. If they're stressing, you're not doing your job.
If the clientele sees you wigging out and running around in circles, like in a panic, then they're like, something's wrong here. Yeah. They can sense that even in a regular restaurant setting. Oh. People know if something's not right, they can feel it.
We would run. So when we did the grand opening of this resort, I was going to run back to the kitchen to grab something, back out to the grand lawn or wherever they called it. And I took off running, and you grabbed me by my arm, and you said, stop fucking running. And I was like,
yep,
I'm just hurting. Sure. You're like, stop fucking running. People don't need to know you're running. And I was like, okay. And so I walked, and I didn't get it until I started doing my own catering gigs. And then all of a sudden it fucking clicks. Oh, yeah. If they see me running, clearly I forgot something. Something's wrong.
Something's wrong.
Something's wrong. And I preach that every single day. We got a gig coming up here in June, our first wedding back from COVID. And I just told Jeffy, remember I was talking to you about this earlier, Jeffy? I said, God, what I wouldn't give just to fly Lonnie out to do a plated wedding, a three-course plated wedding for 85 with us. This man was a fucking animal when it came to doing dinners like this. He would destroy it, crush it. Every plate was perfect.
85, that's nothing.
See, this motherfucker in a home kitchen.
That's nothing. I've done freaking 250 out of the freaking Mardi Gras world with sawdust and paint and and freaking half-built floats, and I've done events in freaking the Wax Museum in New Orleans in a freaking dusty-ass attic that had like maybe 300 square foot for 150 people.
Yeah.
Hey, look, you take the lemons and you make lemonade, man. I mean, you go into a place, if you're a true professional, you can make it happen.
That's what
you
I
just
say.
Fucking, you gotta think. You gotta be organized. You gotta think the whole thing out before you get there. How am I gonna execute this to the best of our ability? Because our reputations are at stake every single time.
Yep, absolutely. Hell yeah. Absolutely. And you cooked in the Beard House. Chef cooked in the Beard House, which was kind of that situation where it's a tiny little kitchen, right?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. The nightmare in there. Have you been in that joint?
I have.
Holy crap.
I haven't.
It's shit stacked on top of shit.
Hey, let me tell you, Chef.
And the kitchen's from, like, 1980.
Yeah.
Oh, it's horrible.
We got another one of our good brothers, Chef, who has a question for you, and I'm gonna be very upset about this question. I know our good brother, our own Motor City Madman himself, Chef Dave from Detroit. Dave, hey buddy, how you doing, man?
Yo, what's going on? Do you prefer Chris or Christopher?
Oh, go fuck yourself! This is what you did, Lonnie.
It is Christopher.
This is what you've done.
Dave, I was trying to give a guy a break.
Christopher Robin.
This is my dude, Lonnie, by the way. You've heard me talk about him before, have you not?
Yeah, definitely. Okay, how you doing, Chef?
Good, I'm good.
Dave, you got a question for Lonnie that I'm afraid for you to ask.
I do. What's the dumbest thing Plum's done in the kitchen?
Oh, man. You're going to ask me to pinpoint one thing?
And seriously? That's our show for tonight. Thanks for joining us, everybody.
Oh, do not make me go on and on.
Oh, listen. I wasn't that bad, Chef.
How about I share one thing?
Happy. Please. I'm okay. It's fine. I'm so okay with where I am in my
career.
He's not
asking for your permission.
I'm not asking for permission. I'm just asking if I can just say one thing.
This motherfucker ain't asking
for
permission, trust me.
For the rest of the night.
No.
I can go on for the evening. So, we're at Hammock. I'm going to skip the Jefferson because you did so many harebrained shit there. I just couldn't even start.
Yes, Chef.
But anyway.
Yes, Chef.
So, we're at Hammock, and I'm like, I'm a motorcycle rider. I'm like, hey, I'm going to take a little break. Myself and one of our procurement person, Bob Brumfield, we're going to go have lunch. When I come back, I need you to have this Maker Blanc. If you remember this, Chris, I said Maker Blanc, him and his partner that come back. I come back and I'm like, hey, where's this? Okay, we're about to do a 150 person function. And I'm like, where's this? Which we had most of the things together. All I asked him is do a simple fucking Blanc. I come back and I'm like, what's this pink fucking sauce? He's like, you told me to make a Beurre Blanc. I'm like, that's a fucking Beurre Rouge, dude. Do you remember that?
Oh, I remember that.
I went the hell out. I was pissed. I was so mad. Oh, my God.
Fucking mad.
Here we are. Oh, and it was for salmon. If it was a white fish, okay, I can see it. We'll figure it out. But it was for salmon. And I'm like, what the F is going on here?
Oh,
and now we were in a pinch, so we had to serve it. So one of the biggest harebrained shit he did was that.
It still tasted good.
I don't give a shit. It was what I asked you to do.
Yes, Chef. Oh, I feel so uncomfortable right now.
Hey, you got one more?
Now we go on.
Yeah, let's do one more.
No, listen. Let me tell you something first. That sauce, Chef. Listen, you're absolutely right. You would never make a Beurre Blanc with a red wine, 100%. But you know, mistakes happen. I apologize, Chef, for that happening. I don't know if I ever did that. I apologize, Chef. That shouldn't have happened.
You apologized up and down, and it didn't matter to me.
Yeah, I know.
Too late.
I know.
But hey. You know what? Here we go back to what we talked about 10 minutes ago is people make mistakes. You move on. The guests didn't know anything different.
No.
So when it all comes down to it, is the guests was like, they were happy. They thought it was magnificent. It was just one of those technical things where you got to pay attention to the directions that are being given to you.
Hey, and great news, that great. Night I learned what a Burr Rouge was. So there we go.
Let's give him another one. Yeah. Hot things are hot.
Go find yourself.
Hot, cold, cold.
Hey, Chris, here's a Burr Rouge. God damn it. Yeah. Listen to Lonnie talk every single time. It just, I feel like I'm in trouble. Like, I feel like I did something wrong, or he's trying to figure out something he can yell at me for, because there's a lot of that, that's for sure. You check out the Best Stuff, Plum Love Foods Live Part 2. That was Chef Lonnie Hewat joining the program right there. I always love talking to Lonnie. It was like sitting in the learning tree every time. And of course, you know, any chance he gets to take a stab at me or make fun of me, he's going to do it. But listen, that's what we do in the kitchen. That's like, you know, toughening that skin, making you a little thicker skinned, I guess. I don't know. It's a good thing. I love Alani. He was great to me, and I can't believe that son of a bitch gave me a B. I worked so damn hard on my externship. How ridiculous is that, huh? Guy's terrible. I know Jeffy loved hearing that story, that's for sure. Coming up next, we're going to hear from a good brother, Chef Matt Stanzacek, also a culinary CIA Institute graduate. He's got a great spot here in Newtown, Connecticut called Good Old Days Pizza and Cocktail Den. He's got some fantastic drinks over there. I you know, last week before I went out for my last hurrah in the Hamptons this past summer, I went over there and got some of his to-go cocktails, and God, they were really good. He's got the pizza's great, the cocktails are great, and there's a giant stained glass window of basically, you know, any kind of chef that is important in our life, there's a picture of him somewhere in our history in Matt's restaurant. It makes me happy. The stained glass window of Julia Child that he has is beautiful. Cocktails are good. Food is good. This guy is the chef's chef. I always appreciate him so much. So big shout out to him. Let's hear from our good friend Matt Stanzacek from Good Old Days Pizza right here on the Best of Plum Love Foods Live Part 2. So is Good Old Days, is that the end game for you? Is it like, this is the place I've always wanted? You know, I'm changing the menu. Like, your menu is not big, which I fucking love. I hate when you go to a restaurant and the menu is 19 pages long. One of the things I love the most, too, is when you walk in the door, you get the menu, you look at it, the first thing you see is beer and a shot. That makes me happy. That's like, takes me back to my old line cook days, you know?
Yep.
But is this?
I don't know, Plum. I mean, I don't know about end game. You know, it's like it's a cool spot. It was a good opportunity. The location's obviously killer. The demographic, you know, and I don't know. I think we could do really well there. That's the gist of it. I don't know about end game. You know,
right.
I mean, will we do more of them, et cetera, et cetera? Who knows? You know, it's just like I want to kind of get this thing right, you know, get it consistent and have fun doing it, you know, and kind of, I guess, like anything else, right? Like, see where it goes, you know?
Yeah. Has it been hard? Because you guys kind of opened up, like, pandemic, open, oh, fuck. I mean, has that been a big challenge, or has it worked out well?
It's been great. I mean, like, it sucks to operate like this, obviously, because, you know, with the restrictions and the masks and all, you know, like, we can't really, we have a killer bar program, but we can't operate 100%, you know? So I think that kind of sucks, but you know, at the end of the day, it's pizza. Like I've always said, it's recession proof. It's proven to be pandemic proof. People always want pizza,
man,
you know? And, I mean, just the takeout scene is just out of this world. It's, you know, it's so much takeout, which I don't know if we saw that, but takeout is just crushing it.
It's still great money. I mean, listen, I mean, here's the thing. You can do a takeout business and still make great money from it. I mean, you're seeing that now. I think it's...
For sure.
The thing is, though, the product is...
You can make better money. There's less overhead. There's less shit to have to worry about.
That's true.
amazing.
I just kind of want to paint the picture of the restaurant a little bit here. So you're in the basement of this historic inn here in this small New England town called Newtown, where, you know, there's a flagpole in the center of the town. you know, like the road splits four ways and the flagpole is kind of like this iconic spot here. And this inn, it used to be called the Newtown Inn. Now it's called something different. But your restaurant is in the basement of this place, which used to be like a speakeasy sort of restaurant, like a bar. Big 8-foot, is it 8-foot fireplace? It's massive. And
huge.
It's just a really cool spot to be in. On the wall, you have a stained glass picture of Julia Child. I mean, it's a very, I don't know, man. For me, like when I walk in and see something like that immediately, like, you know, you're setting the bar really high immediately. And I know you, so I have no worry at all. But I wonder if, like, do you feel that pressure? Like, you're like, okay, we're putting this in here. You know, this is a historic place. I'm putting this picture of a Julia Child here. Like, do you feel like you're, like, setting a standard for yourself when people walk in the door? Or is it, you know, don't really give a fuck. You're going to make your thing. And this is what you like.
Yeah, I mean, I think anything I've done, like, it's always, it's personal, you know, like, this is my life, it's not only my livelihood, but it's like, you know, we live and breathe this business, right? So you want to project your loves and your personality and everything else on it, so it's not a question of, I know it's a little different for what Newtown is used to, right? But,
right.
But
thankfully,
no, I think it's like, this is who we are, you know, and we hope you also love it. We hope you like it, you know,
right.
We hope you like this style, our personality, our music, whatever, you know, like I think that's all you could do, you know.
You know, before we jump back into the really chefy questions that are coming in, I do want to just mention that May 19th here in Connecticut will be the date that Connecticut has officially defeated COVID. So shout out to Connecticut. We're excited about that.
yeah. They have a date?
Yeah, May 19th is what they said. May 19th.
Like, how do they predict that?
Dude, do you not know who fucking Ned is? Ned sets the tone, baby.
Ned does it. See, I want Ned to be my governor.
Hey,
Giuliani sucks it.
You can't have him. Giuliani is not your governor, but that's okay.
No? What is he?
Jesus Christ, Jeffy. But what I'm saying is that, like, on the 19th, like, you guys can fully open, right? You can fully open back up. You can put the seats back in. No more restrictions. The bar can be open. No more time limits, right?
Yep. Yeah. Take the stupid bar the partitions down, and you know, add some seats and see what happens, right?
I mean, I think it's going to be fine, but that's got to be exciting for you. How much do you think? Is that like a 50% increase for you, or do you expect it to be more, or, you know?
No, man. The other thing is, like, we can't, you know, our capacity with that oven, that little oven that we have, like, we can't do, we just kind of threw a kitchen down there, you know? It was like, we put this killer oven down there. We can only fit in this little space, you know? Like, we can't do 500 pies in a night, you know? It's just not the business model, so...
Right.
you know, like, basically we have 6 seats at the bar right now. Everything's got to be spaced. I think we can only fit maybe 12, which is awesome, you know? I mean, I picture this bar having, like, 2-3 people deep on a busy night.
Yeah.
You know, you're waiting for a table, you belly up to the bar like the old days. Let me get a drink before I sit down, you know?
Love it.
So that's what I picture, and that'll be, I think, added revenue. And we might add we're definitely going to add a couple more seats. We just open outside, so that's 3 to 5 tables more. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah, man. Now that you're saying it, maybe it is like 50% more. We'll see, you know?
He's like, fuck, I got to make 500 pies a night now.
Like, shit.
Holy shit.
No, we just can't, man. We can't. You know, we really can't.
I mean, could you get more oven space, or just there's no way?
I'd have to buy another oven. Like, we'd have to sell this one off. I need, like, more decks.
Yeah.
You know, we're only open 3+ months, so let's at least get through the summer, see what post corona looks like, you know, and then reassess.
Well, dude, I think you're just going to continue to grow because the fucking product is so good, and you're so awesome about changing the menu. That's what I love. Like, you'll throw something new on the menu in a heartbeat.
Got to.
Nobody does that. People don't do that enough, Jeffy. I'll tell you what, every time I've gone in, I've eaten there twice. I've gotten takeout from you guys probably twice. And each time, there's something different on the menu. I think that's so important.
Yeah, it's just kind of, it's how I cook, man. I think any good or inspired chef, right, they're always changing things, whether it be, you know, seasonally this is coming in, or you just get inspired by something you see or something you eat, you know. And it's just how it is. I can't picture any other way. Like a place that changes their menu once or twice a year. Like, no, it's weekly. You know, it's definitely it's weekly, man. It has to be.
Jeffy, man. We haven't done enough plugs for Matt yet. I'm so excited to talk to this guy. I haven't even plugged him yet.
Just running your mouth. Absolutely. Everyone, get on there right now. Go to your Instagram. Follow at Good Old Days Pizza. If you're in Newtown, you should be calling them and ordering pizza. Check out their menu, goodolddayspizza.com. Follow our good brother Matt Stanzak. Help him out. Push this pizza. It's delicious. Well, he can't do any more than how many pizzas can you do a night?
Good question.
Like, what do you think? Like, what's your limit?
I mean, we do, like, you know, on a busy night we'll do 200, you know, 200,
damn,
which is a lot, man.
That's that, still a lot of fucking pizza piece, bro. I was like, what are you talking about?
I mean, listen, from 4:30, you're not doing anything else until 9:30. You know, it's like Iron Man shit. I say it to the kids every night that are cooking with me. I'm like, yo, you know, like, it's nonstop, dude. You barely have time to take a piss. It's,
so you must have, you know, like, are you the Iron Man prep team? Is that what you're doing? Like, are you guys making dough in the beginning of the shift for the night the next day? And like,
oh, dude, we're making dough like 2-3 days in advance. Like, we're always making dough, you know?
Yeah. That's awesome. I miss those days. I grew up in pizzerias. I grew up working in pizzerias like half my life. I love pizza. Cool. It's like one of my favorite things. I'm going to go back to it eventually. I make it every... I have pizzas. I'm a private chef, and everywhere I go, I talk my boss into putting a pizza oven. It's like, yeah, it's so much fun.
You guys have a dope pizza oven at your spot in the Hamptons.
Yeah, we have a couple of them. We have one in the Hamptons. We have one. We have a dope pizza oven in New York City. It's like ridiculous. It's like a lot of fun turning out pizzas on a rooftop.
So, Matt, let's talk about dough for a second. I know we started to, and we kind of got sidetracked, but that's, I mean, this, we're fucking chefs. We have ADD. What do you want from me? I don't fucking, you know, fucking, the show stinks. I can't help it. I'm sorry.
It's all good.
So, talking about dough, like the flours, do you have choices of flours? Do you have, like, I prefer this, I prefer that? Does it change frequently? Talk about flour a little bit. There's a lot of science behind that.
Yeah, I don't know. That's something I've kind of been honing in on, like, ever since Corona happened. I started messing around at home, you know, and just the normal, you know, the from King Arthur up in Vermont, which has like a really great organic consistent flour, but you know, then we blend in like some of the Italian stuff, which is always changing. You know, you have different grinds from double zero to zero to you know, like whole wheat. Yeah, like there's everything, right? So different textures, you know, that's the other thing. We started adding whole wheat into the thin and crispy, which is like the bar style. And I don't know, I'm always experimenting. I'll add different percentages based off of like things I read or see. So yeah, it's kind of always changing, and I'll get a bag of flour in, you know, and I'll try it out. I'll see how it kind of performs, how it tastes, and go from there, you know. So I'll stay consistent for like a month. You know, I'll be like, oh, this is good, it came out good, and then I want to tweak it, you know?
Damn. I mean, that's brave, though, because once you get it right, you know, people might get upset about it, but I guess, you know, if you're making great dough, who gives a shit? I mean, basic dough, right? Flour, yeast, water, salt?
Yep.
Yeah,
we use a little bit of, we use some fat, we use some oil in the thin and crispy one.
Nice.
Kind of like, you know, just add that, like, silkiness to it.
Best of Plum Love Foods Live. Hanging out with you. It's your boy Chef Plum. Flying solo tonight, you guys. That's right. The boys aren't with me. Doing some of my favorite spots here on the show. We've had so many great guests. And Matt Stanzak from Good Old Days Pizza. Not to be forgotten about. What a great year it's been here in 21. We got a few more months left of it. But it's always exciting. I feel like the year of our the podcast year or whatever starts, like, restarts for us in September, I guess. I don't know. There's no rhyme or fucking reason how we do this show. But loved always hearing from Matt Stanzak at Good Old Days Pizza, just telling stories, breaking stuff down. This guy, his understanding of how great food works is undeniable. And I love the fact that he's so humble about it. One of my favorite chefs in the country right now is Matt Stanzak, for sure. Make sure you check him out. Good Old Days Pizza, if you're around anywhere, he's worth it. It's worth the drive. It's delicious. It's so good. I really can't put him over enough. I think he's one of the coolest guys out there right now in food. Next here on the program, we did an episode of the show, like I talked about before, where we were having television pitches. And it was one of my favorite episodes. I'm proud of that episode. It was a lot of fun. Like, it was, put a little work into it, and we got a great content out of it. We had so many people call in to pitch their TV shows. We posted on social media saying, here's a phone number to call. Call us. Leave us a 1 or 2 minute pitch. And if our guest, Michael Petrella, who's the executive producer, he's put lots of content out there, likes it, you never know. He may reach out to you and actually talk to you about doing it. There were some crazy ones. There were some funny ones. And there was even a couple of really, really good ones. What I thought was really interesting was the amount of like sci-fi stuff that people are putting out there on there. You would think for this program, it would be more food-centric, but no, it was a lot of sci-fi. It was crazy, man. It was crazy. So I'm excited to play some of that for you right now. Check it out. This is, what episode was this? I don't remember. You can go back and look if you ever want to check out any of these, just so you guys know, like, you know, I run through them, and I should probably tell you the episode numbers in case you want to listen to the entire thing, because I got some messages saying, hey, what episode is that? When did that happen? This episode is 306. It's called Show Pitching with Michael Petrella and you. So check it out. And also, if you want to hear stuff from Lonnie, that's episode 301. And then, which one was Matt? I got to figure that out here. Which one was Matt? Episode 305. That aired on April 22nd. Anyway, check this out. It's really fun. It's the people who listen to this program pitching TV shows to the one, the only Michael Petrella. Right here. On the best of Plum Love Foods Live, Volume 2. Dave, you had a pitch of a program you had mentioned to me a while back, and I said, listen, we're going to have Mike on the phone, so if you want to call and tell him, you know, you can have him, you can give you a minute to call him and tell him. The man's got to, we've kept him on the phone too long as it is, but, you know, if you want to give it to him, go for it.
Oh, definitely. I mean, the last, like, 15 minutes, kind of like, I was like, okay, that this and that probably won't work. But it's like a combination of pretty much what everybody was saying. Like, I'm in a different kitchen probably every 5 to 6 months because I travel for work now, is kind of what it seems like. So I do a show where I just, you know, travel the world, and I do like a week or two in each kitchen. And then also focus on the nightlife where I go out and hang out with the crew, you know, when they go and, you know, cut loose. So it's like get thrown into the fire and figure shit out and learn it on the fly, and then go party with the kitchen crew. And it's just a different
culinary different world.
After
hours thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's similar, because like I would watch that show. I think that's a cool idea. The question is always going to be, why you? And there's,
I think a lot of us would say that.
Well, that's don't say that, because now they're gonna find this audio in 3 years when we're actually pitching this show, and they're gonna be like, oh well, fuck them.
That guy, he didn't know what he's talking about. I can fucking talk to anybody, and I usually can. It just takes like, you know, a couple minutes of working with
six
someone.
Months, and then you're there.
6 months.
Fuck yeah, Dave.
Listen, the idea of doing a show where you work in several kitchens and you kind of travel and then hang out with the crew and get to know, where it becomes about the crews of the kitchen, not about the host. I think that's kind of cool. And each episode tells a different story of these different kitchen people and how they got there and why they got there. And it's their story in their own words, whether it's in the kitchen or after hours. That's kind of cool.
It is cool. Yeah, I think the difficult part is going to be that they're going to say, well, okay, I'm going to call Alton Brown up and have him do that. You know, it's a really tricky... go ahead.
The tricky part with that is, and you're right, and I'm just defending Dave here a little bit, because there isn't really anybody who does that right now. The one person who could have done it would have been Anthony Bourdain, and he's dead.
Yeah, for sure.
We had a psychic media bomb. We tried to contact him. It didn't work. But...
Yeah.
It
might have worked. He also might have told you to go fuck yourself. Like, that's the kind. Like, I could see Bourdain being like, "No, fuck, I'm not talking to you. Are you kidding me?"
Right.
I got better shit to do up here.
Absolutely. But having, you know, here's the thing, because Alton Brown isn't that guy. He's not the guy to do that. You know, I'm trying to think of who would be. What, Michael Simon? He's not that guy either anymore. No, Bobby Flay? He's not going to do it.
No, yeah, I don't see any of these guys going to an after hours that smells like piss and hanging out with the industry people. I
don't either. I think you're right. I just don't know. I think that's an argument with the people who make that decision. Right. Because I think that they would say there has to be a reason that we're watching this guy do it or this woman do it or whatever. And there's got to be something. And you're right, because the authenticity, you can sniff that out in a heartbeat. Because even if this is Guy Fieri, who is – by all accounts, an extremely likable guy, really easy to talk to. Even that, you'd be like, well, he's not doing this. Like, he's got 83 shows on the network. He doesn't have time for this shit. So, you know, the idea that it would be somebody new, I think, is really good. But the other side of that sword is that somebody new scares the living shit out of these networks. And that's something that Chef will tell you. I've been fighting for 10 years. And just because they're not somebody you know yet doesn't mean they're not worth exploring and capable of doing this. So it's a fight that I've taken upon myself many times, and most of the time I lose. But occasionally you get one through and you're like, look, this idea is too good. This person is too attached to it, and we're not doing it unless this person, you know, this is the only person on earth that can do this.
God, let's hope that holds true moving forward.
Absolutely.
Michael, we can't thank you enough, man. This is like, I mean, we went long tonight, but it's a whatever. It was great. It was entertaining. It was educational. And just, you know, hearing everybody have their pitches. I mean, listen, it's a fun show to do.
It was. And, you know, I said it before earlier that, like, look, 10 years ago, I was somebody with ideas, and do you know how difficult it is to get anyone to just even hear it, not even help you with it, but just like literally give you the time of day? And it never made sense to me, because a lot of really great things come from people who haven't yet created something really great. And that's a really troubling thing about the industry, is the wall is so tall to climb them over. And it took a really long time for me to get, I wouldn't even say I'm over it, but I'm like, you know, I'm approaching a place where I feel comfortable with my spot on the wall. But the idea that somebody will listen and offer you some feedback, whether it's good or bad or indifferent, I think that is really, I think it's worth doing. Like, I'm never going to pretend that any of these ideas were just so horrible. There's nothing we can do with this. Awesome. It's a conversation that's worth having.
Well, awesome. And shout out to everybody for calling in, Jeffy. How great was that to have so many phone calls?
Dude, it was awesome.
There's some we couldn't get to.
Yeah, we didn't get to all of them. Sorry. And,
wait, Dan, do you have a pitch?
Yes, I have a fucking pitch.
Oh my God.
Here we go. Bring me on here. You go have me sit in the background, hanging out, having a good time. I'm laughing. It's fun and all. But God damn it, I got a pitch to make.
Listen, if we ever do work on whatever your idea is about to be and we go to Netflix, you need to kick the door in and start it like that.
Yes, absolutely. God damn it.
You got me sitting out here in the fucking waiting room and I got this fucking idea.
I got a pitch.
That's the only way I've gotten my stuff sold. So,
all right, give it to us, Dan. We got to get Michael out of here. It's getting late.
All right, listen.
So my pitch is
real quick.
I love true crime. True crime is the shit, right? I'm all about true crime. I like to have the history of food. Now you take the history of food and true crime, you put them together. You got stories galore. You got how Colonel Sanders murdered a man, right? You take that back on some next shit. You know how Nashville hot chicken, how fucking delicious it is? You know it's made because some girlfriend was mad at her man because he was cheating on her. She was like, fuck this motherfucker. I'm going to make some hot ass chicken, have him shitting, ass burning. Nope. Homeboy, turn that epic shit, right? Now, take it to some stories like Pat and Gino's steak and cheese, right? Yo, two beautiful historic buildings across the street from each other. Steak and cheese sandwich, been beefing for years. What is that story? Where does it come from? How about Pepe's and Sally's? Yo, a family torn apart by pizza. Yo, the stories that you can tell about people and food and where it comes from, and then you take the true crime aspect of it, I'm telling you, there's seasons.
I'd like to go first really quick. Can I go first really quick?
Yeah, sure.
This show has to happen so long as Dan narrates it.
Yo. It's important.
I don't know. Michael, what do you got, buddy?
Mm-hmm. It's the best one we've heard all night.
I think it might be. It's pretty fucking good.
It's really good. Yeah, at one point, I almost interrupted and was like, stop naming things that other people can look up.
Oh, shit.
Like, I like the idea that if we truly, truly, truly could find 12 stories like Colonel Sanders massacring someone and taking the recipe, let's pretend that's what you were going for. Like, that is a no-brainer.
Wow. Dan, what the fuck?
He literally murdered somebody.
Stop talking about it. Did you not hear what he just said? Stop talking.
No more. Yeah. No, let's. So that's a good idea, because if there truly, truly are, and I don't know, but I don't doubt that there are, if there truly are a dozen or two dozen examples of like really horrific crime that you would never believe revolved around somebody's, you know, ground beef recipe, like that's incredible.
All right, so Dan, if Dan could come up with 12 of these stories,
I'll take it to the network.
Did you hear that, Dan?
Oh, that's done. I
don't doubt that. That's the hardest part, is like, if you say, like, okay, let's pretend we went into the room with like the Colonel Sanders thing.
Fuck, that's cool.
They would be like, well, how, you know, great, that's 1 hour. What the hell else are we doing? And you can't be like, I don't know. Like, so, you know, you can't be like, oh, I'm sure there's others. Like, you got to prove that there's enough worth exploring. And they don't all have to be like grade A. These are the best 12 of these stories. Cause like, as you research and as you hire people to help, whatever, you're going to uncover more. And like, frankly, doing a Google search is not good enough, because anyone can do that. It's got to be something where if you find one or two that maybe no one else knows about yet, or at least doesn't know the full story, that's enough to get started with the conversation.
That's a damn good fucking series right there. Jeffy, I'd watch that. Would you?
Absolutely. Dan came in with the Danalogue.
He came in here, dropped a Danalogue on us.
Plum, I told you about one of the things I'm working on right now. And like, the, you know, without giving too much away, because we are literally pitching it at the moment, but the, you know, there's two families, and like, they just kind of go back and forth, and they escalate.
Oh, yeah.
You know, one person is, you know, their business catches fire. The next person, the other guy, has his wife kidnapped. Somebody's son is murdered. You know, like, it goes back and forth, and it's outrageous. Like, in an old West two families feuding kind of way, but then when you find out what it is that they're feuding about,
it's fucking crazy.
It becomes a fucking cartoon. And so like, that's exactly what we're talking about now, where it's like, if you frame this as like, this horrific crime took place, and then it ends with like, KFC has 35,000 restaurants, it's like, holy shit. Like, what the fuck? Like, that's, yeah, that's,
how many, I like, people, his true crime angle, cholesterol every day.
What's that?
How many people is he killing with cholesterol every day?
Well,
man, dude, I'm telling you, that episode is so funny to me. The pitches we got, just unbelievable. Shout out to Michael Petrella. Love that guy. He's really good at just rolling with the punches. Got to give him credit for that. Also, shout out to all of our best of guests tonight. Matt Stanzacek from Good Old Days Pizza. Chef Lonnie Hewatt. Some of our favorite episodes. We've got some big things planned, you guys. We're excited. We're working on it. Jeffy and I are in the lab trying to come up with a couple of cool new things we can do here on the program. So we're really looking forward to it. We're going to get back out there now that COVID, you know, I guess it's out there, but festivals are happening. So we're working on that. We're really excited about it. Keep checking us out, man. We really do appreciate it. Shout out to Dave. Shout out to Dan. Shout out to Jeffy. Miss you, boys. But I wanted to do this one by myself. You know, listen, you guys always get to do best ofs. I wanted to do one. So we hope you guys enjoyed it. Remember, you can check out all of those episodes if you're interested. They're really easy to find. Matt Stanzacek from Good Old Days Pizzas, episode 305. You can also find our friends, Chef Lonnie Hewatt. If you're looking for that episode, that's episode 301. And then the, you know, I changed how I was naming these shows. That's why it's fucking me up. And of course, our show pitching episode is 306. Wow, 305, 306, and 301. kind of went back there on that, huh? Maybe we should go a little higher numbers next time. I don't know. Listen, we appreciate you guys checking out the program. Seriously, it means the world to us. We have a lot of fun doing the show, and it wouldn't be anything if we didn't have anybody listening to it. So we thank you guys for all of the support. Seriously, it's what makes the show so much fun to do, having you guys out there. But rest assured, this program is going nowhere. I started off doing this show just like this, me talking into a microphone, nobody listening, and now I'm doing me talking into a microphone with a shit ton of people listening. So I couldn't be happier about that, because I think people like it. They must. We're getting rankings. We're getting ratings. You know how it goes. Listen, friends, we appreciate you. We'll be back live next week. Me, Jeffy, all the boys will be hanging out with you. We really appreciate you. I'm having trouble with that word today. But friends, remember, in the meantime and in between time, food is one of the most important things we have in life. Everything important in life revolves around food. Let's give it the time it deserves. See you next week. Peace.
From the Tower of Power, too sweet to be sour, I'm funky like a monkey. Sky's the limit and space is the place.
Thank you for listening to Plum Love Foods Live. See you next week, good brothers and sisters.